real small child leading another little child. Who is the little fellow? Anyhow, who is his parent? Oh, he said, if you have to ask me who most of the children are, I'd have a real problem. Because we have young people with us today, that's why I choose the chorus. Why worry when you can pray? Because a lot of people got the notion that young people don't worry. And that's not true. In fact, and recently I've come across more young and middle-aged people who really have a problem with this. So we want to concentrate on this, and it's good for us older ones. When I tell people that I've had a nervous breakdown, in fact, nearly two of them, they look surprised and shocked, you know. Long before I came out to the Bahamas, I had a bad one. And I had, maybe you would consider it a half of one. But when you have a problem with nerves and they collapse on you, it just seems like two in one. You're not conscious that everything looks so much larger than what it actually is. And I think I can relate to some of you here this morning, and not maybe quite a few of you. The reason I'm burdened about the subject, I was up late last night studying it, is because in the last perhaps 3 months, there's been a lot of fretfulness and anxiety. You know what anxiety is, don't you? In our island. Well, suppose you were in the Marriott Hospital in Pakistan this week, and a car bomb full of explosives blew up. Dozens of people were killed instantly in that hotel or in the embassy. In Yemen, where several were killed. Suppose you were in the earthquake of China not too long ago. But they wouldn't even give us a figure because they don't even know how many people were swallowed up by the earth and covered in debris. Or, you know something about Andrew hurricanes, but 9 million people in Haiti, suppose you were born in Haiti and lived on the mountainside, and your whole family was swallowed up by mud, and you survived maybe just to see it and realize that thousands upon thousands of people were just swallowed up. Or maybe in Texas, where people were up north who evacuated Galveston, and they obeyed the governmental authorities, and they went. But when they got up there after a few days when the hurricane had passed, they got so disgruntled, and they were upset, in fact, angry. We want to go home. We want to go home. And the president says, well, let them go down, and then help them to leave, because the president knew. When they got down there, there was no homes to go to. The homes were washed off of their foundations. Can't even find out where the area, where the house was. So, if you were in Galveston living, how would you have felt today if you survived? We could go on and on with this. But what I'm trying to get across is, we are worrying unnecessary here in Spanish Wells. You see? We're fretting. We're filled with anxiety. Now, I know young people get sick. And what they go through, I was young person, 8 years of age, and I thought I was going to die. So I know how young people feel. I'm not going to go into detail of my sickness. But my mother thought I was going to die. The doctor thought I was going to die. He was one of those country doctors, you know. He came from up to the city, way down in Devonshire, horse and buggy. And but the Lord helped me. He didn't want me, apparently, in heaven. At that time, I made a profession. I knew the Lord. Maybe that's the time my name was written in the book. I don't know. But at nearly 16 is when I finally gave my heart to the Lord. But in the years 14 and 15, I wish I could erase from my life and entirely, but you can't. It's something that you've done and things that you've done that you're sorry for. But isn't it nice to know God doesn't see them anymore? Put them behind his back. And that's true of you. If you're a Christian and you've had failures, you've fallen. Now, this is by way of introduction now, see? But I want you to turn now to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to encourage your heart point out a few things about the reality of problems, okay? Keep that in mind. The reality of problems. Even though we live in a nice society, God has blessed us. So far this year, we've been spared bad hurricanes. And the hurricane that we had, the winds that we have, adverse. And I have a beautiful mango tree out in my backyard that was given to me, and it grew, and it had about 3 dozen mangoes on it, just a young tree. And when I looked at it after that 80-mile-hour blow we had, it looked, I said, what? It's going to die. All the leaves turned brown. And I said, my, my. But that's just a tree. Nothing to be compared with human life. But I said, well, it's going to die. I looked out of my kitchen window this morning, and I saw all the dead leaves on the ground. I've seen it every day. I mean, the ground is covered with brown and yellow leaves of that mango tree. Would you believe, you look at the tree now, don't look at the ground with all the dead leaves. All I see is beautiful fresh sprouts of that leaves that look so beautiful. The tree, it looked like it never had a storm. And all around it, roots were broken and cracked. But you know, the storm turned out to be a blessing to that mango tree. I use that as an illustration. The ground was cracked, and when it rained, the water was able to seep down to the roots. And the old leaves are gone. Fresh leaves have come out. Looks promising now. The illustration is this. The storms of trial beat on you sometimes. And it looks like you're never going to recover. But God has a purpose in it all. And you're going to be fruitful, because he promised that in the Word, all right? Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read from verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good testimony, a good report. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying, approving, you see, of his gifts. And through it, he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated, that is, taken up, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him up. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he walked with God, that he pleased God. Isn't that nice? He pleased God, and he walked with God. Now here's the verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Realize that he exists, he is real. And it said, and said that he is a rewarder of those who what? Who diligently seek him. A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I chose that verse that with the reality of problems, we've got to understand that God is bigger than our problems. And God can solve our problems. Now somebody will say, but Frank, I know people who have cancer and they die. That's true. I don't have any answer for that, you see. Some of God's dearest children suffer that way. I could tell you some incidents where, by the grace of God, I was only a link in the chain. I led a young boy to the Lord at East Street Gospel Chapel. Fine. Oh, man, what a dynamic testimony, witnessing to everybody. And he was involved in camp work out west. And on the way to the camp, he collided with a truck. He was riding a motorbike. He was killed instantly. I think he was 19 years of age. I don't understand these things. Neither do you. There are a lot of things we don't understand. I could go on and on and tell you of incidents like that, but for the sake of time, I thought I'd mention that one to you. We do have problems, and don't try to be, I'm going to use the word evasive. Don't hide and think that they can't come. Or if they come, that shouldn't have come. You can't face life like that. Otherwise, you must anticipate problems, okay? If you don't anticipate problems, when they come, you're going to be terribly disappointed, you're going to be nervous, you're going to be all shook up, and you're going to say, why is this happening to me, you see? But if you anticipate them, not that you want to dwell on it, like one woman, when she was asked by a missionary, how are you feeling today, Sister Birdie? Says, I don't know. I feel good, but I bet you tomorrow I'm going to be worse. Yes, you know, that's the wrong attitude. Now, I don't mean that to anticipate problems like that. The idea is, when you go through life, you know problems are going to come. But when they come, you could face them with the Word of God and with God, because God is bigger than your problem. And otherwise, focus on God rather than your problem when they do come. And all of us know some of our problems, us older ones especially. And that's what we've had to do. Trust. What a word. The second thing is tragedies. As I mentioned a little while ago, Isaiah 43 tells us, when thou passest through the what? The waters, I will be with thee. Later on the verse, they will not overwhelm you. I will be with you. I love that. Beautiful verse. I've had a lot of comfort in that verse over the years. And so, even in tragedy, there's triumph. So there's three words you can remember. Trust, even when tragedy comes, and triumph will come. God will overrule. God will help you. Philippians 4:6. If somebody like to venture there, look it up for me and read it while I'm talking. And just somebody, young people especially, like you to participate today in reading a verse for me, all right? Philippians 4:6. We have a command from God, okay? And God is saying, I don't want you to worry about one thing in life. You say, Brother Frank, that's impossible. Some people are worry warts. You know what that is? They worry about everything. Things that are not even going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. And some things never happen, but they worry. All right, has anybody got that verse, Philippians 4:6? Our young people here? Like to read it for me? You got it? Read it for me, say. Isn't that lovely? That word careful is an old English word. You know, in my Bible it says be anxious for nothing. See? That's just the same King James Version, but they have a little translation of the word itself. So the word is be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of grace, of course, will provide and will supply your need. Beautiful verse. I remember an old Scottish evangelist is with the Lord. Now, he died when he was 53. He wasn't really old, but it was a long time ago when he died. He and I were very close. We shared in evangelism. He's a Scotsman. And I can remember him saying this. Whenever you're in a fix, remember Philippians 4:6. Okay? Whenever you're in a fix, remember Philippians 4:6. Whenever you have a problem and you feel real worried or concerned about it and you're all nerved up over it, take that verse and put it around your neck or your heart. There's a better place. Tuck it in your heart. It'll give you comfort. See, God cares. All the billions of people in the world, what, over 6 billion now? Maybe 7 billion, I'm not sure. Everyone, God knows. He knows all about them, even before they were born. You know, think of it. The Red Sea, when Moses, by faith, believed God, and here was this, 2.5 million people were on the border there of the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was coming, and the people were frightened, and they would begin to complain. God says, cross over. And a mighty miracle was done. The waters just rolled back and back and back. And Israel went over on dry ground. Isn't it amazing? Not ankle deep. No, not even knee deep, nor ankle deep. And they went across.
And when they got across, all of the Israelites got across, and they looked back, and here were the Egyptians coming with their chariots and whatnot. And then all of a sudden the waters came back, torrential downpour as well as tide, and they were enveloped, they were covered with this these waters, and they drowned in the Red Sea.
I guess you heard the story many times when this atheist told it, boy, that's not true. He was saying hallelujah. I said, what you hallelujahing about? He said, that's something I learned this morning in Sunday school, sir.
What did you learn?
How Israel crossed the Red Sea on dry ground and how the Egyptians were killed. Boy, don't you know that they now know, they have proof, that it was only 18 inches of water where the Israelites crossed over. The boy thought for a moment. He shouted, hallelujah! That's what you're hallelujahing about now. He says, to think that God drowned all those Egyptians in only 18 inches of water. You see, he could see the positive side of it. He believed God. He believed the word of God. And that atheist couldn't change his mind. That's the kind of faith we need to believe God and believe his word. You see, it's very, very important. Do not worry about one thing. That's what that verse is telling us, okay? There's three areas of worry. Our makeup, our person, of course, as you know, is mental, our mind, and then we have the spiritual side of us, and then we have the physical side of us. And the physical, as you know, is a vehicle. We heard Brother Cosin speak on this some time ago, not too long ago. He briefly touched on it. And you have spirit, your spirit, soul, and body. And so when something goes wrong with the vehicle, the vessel, which is the body, well, naturally, emotionally, you're going to be upset. It's only a natural thing. And but the spiritual side is what keeps a balance in our life. Now, there are some people who inclined to be nervous. It's a illness with some people, all right? You must understand that. But there are some people who are well, but they're given to worry unnecessary. So we must be watch out for that. And you could be concerned. When I say something with my boys, you know, they come up and I thank God for that. We have coffee together many, many mornings. And if I say something, they say, Daddy, don't worry. Well, I'm not really worrying. I'm only concerned about certain things. You must just distinguish between being concerned and worry. Worry is fretfulness. You know, jitter. You have the jitters. You're all keyed up and you repeat it. You go on and on and you worry about everything. And that's of course can be a physical problem, an emotional problem, but there is an answer to this. We worry about life. Am I going to die? Is this life-threatening? I say, I want to be realistic this morning because that's a natural response or reaction. But life is in the hands of the Lord. Now, if you don't do anything stupid, now let me clarify that. If you don't drink rum, because I don't know if you heard the broadcast this morning. Many a drunkard has given his life to the Lord and have been saved gloriously, changed completely. But later they died with liver problems because alcohol destroys the liver. You see where I'm coming from? Well, God saves you, but he doesn't deliver the effects of sin that was committed in the body. Now, I'm giving you another illustration. You might be a Christian, or let's say unsaved, and they go out and one night stand, for instance. And in this one night stand, unbeknown to them, they contract a HIV. You know what that is, don't you? Okay, nod your head if you know what I mean. Okay. So, but they ask God to forgive them, and God forgives. Isn't it wonderful that you could come back to the Lord, and he always forgives. He forgives all of our sin, no matter what they are.
When we're genuine and we're sincere about it, God will forgive. But the thing is this. Those people, many of them die. I know some cases where I wouldn't dare talk about them publicly. Some of them are my friends. They've known the Lord. But I believe they're with the Lord today because they had a change of heart, change of lifestyle, and genuinely born again. But oh, what a price that they paid. So a lot of things we bring on ourselves, and we can't blame God. And there are those things sometimes that maybe that's the sin unto death. Not one particular sin, but it could be a variety of sin. And John says, you could pray for it, but it's not going to help. So some things we bring on ourselves. On the other hand, you live normal, you live a good life, you please the Lord, you serve the Lord, and then all of a sudden, you get sick. You see? Life, you say, is it life-threatening? You know? And you begin to be concerned. You might even get a little nervous. So, there are doctors, but God also, in some cases, heal. Even, I've known cases that God heals on its own. Nature, He puts power in the nature of your nature and your body. Self-healing medicine in your own body. But when your body's run down, you're careless, you're neglected, you don't have the proper vitamins and proper food in your body, you have no resistance, of course, and it makes it very difficult for the body to work. But isn't it marvelous that you can live with one kidney? You can live with one leg, one arm, and many other organs of the body. You can live with just one of them. It's amazing, really, when you think of it. And the body will function as long as you give it fuel, food. And so there are a lot of wonderful things that the body does, but there are sometimes you have to go to a doctor. And that's why the church comes together and we pray mornings and we pray Tuesday night. We pray for the sick. We pray for people who have these problems. And some people have emotional problems. Brother Roddy, I don't think we pray for people like this as much as we should. You know, there are parents, for instance, they are up all night waiting for children to come home. Emotional problem, you know. And they weep, and they pray. And it just goes on every day. Their sons that they cuddled when they were babies. When they had kicked their toe, they even kissed the toe. Best healing medicine in the world, by the way. When a child cries because he fell, all mom has to do is kiss it. AJ had a big truck fall on his toe yesterday. Well, last night, I happened to be there, and he cried. You'd think he was going to die. And then Glenda I said, kiss the toe, Glenda. So she bowed, bent down, kissed the toe, snugged up in her arms, stopped crying. Best medicine in the world. But however, We have to face reality. There are parents who are suffering right here. I drive around the island quite a bit. And I go cross streets because I can't remember everybody. I go past your homes and I say, I pray for them, Lord. I don't think that mother's saved, that father's saved. Save them, please. And I do it quite often. Miss Emily and I used to do it before. And perhaps you do it as well. But there are more people hurting in this land than you can imagine. Oh, the reality of this. Emotional suffering is greater than we can imagine. But then, let's remember the provisions of God. And in Matthew chapter 6, you don't have to turn to this, but if you're writing it down, 31 to 33, the Father knows what you have need of. I love that. Instead of reading it all, God the Father knows what you have need of. And you know, He will supply your need. He will help us. He will give us what we need. Believe me when I say this. And I thank God, you know, the way He's kept me. I'm chasing 80. And I don't know when I'm going to leave this old world. Like I said recently, I don't mind being here a little longer if I'm in my right mind.
I'm not healthy, and I don't want to get on that subject this morning. But I have quite a few things wrong with me. But you know, I'm happy. I am. I'm not trying to project myself as an image of perfection this morning. God knows. I hurt. But I don't let the hurt get me down. Especially when you got a couple of leaves that you could take now and then. They help a lot. Common sense. Now, don't be like some Spanish wealth people. If two leaves help you, take six. The bottle says only two a day. I know a man who does that, see? But he takes more than six. And I warned him. Now, if anything happens to his heart or his liver, who you blame? God? No. He won't bear instructions. Anyhow, that's another point. But God will provide. That's the point I want to make. He knoweth what we have need of. Oh, I love that. And he, you know why? Because he loves us. Perfect love casteth out what? Fear. Don't be afraid to say it. Perfect love casteth out fear. And because he loves us, we don't really have to fear that much. Now if an army of terrorists come board this island with their machine guns and whatnot, and they're firing and they're killing people, it's only natural you're going to have fear. That's part of your makeup. But there are a lot of things we're fearful of that we shouldn't be fearful of. But that's where we need to really correct this. You see, God will provide for us. My God shall supply what? All your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Here is an area where in the last 3, maybe 4 months, we've been affected by this. Our needs met. People owe money, mortgages, large mortgages. They owe heavy interest rates that they have to pay. They have to find that every quarter or whatever agreement they made. And it becomes a real burden. A real burden. And thank God I'm praying. That's why we had special prayer that our fishermen will come home with an abundance of catch this month. We need that because that's the lifeline of the island. It's the bloodstream, as it were, of our community. You know, our economy is down. But listen, Nassau is down. You'd be surprised. People are not coming to the hotel. They're watching the elections in America. Tourists are not coming in like they were, except for the cruise ship boats. And they're not big spenders. As you know, they go down to straw market and so on. But government does make a little bit of money on that. But all the hotels are suffering right now. This is the most difficult times economically that the country is going through. Our island now, let's focus on Spanish wealth. There are people already lost their homes in Nassau and different places. Some people may lose their homes here. It's a dreadful thought, isn't it? Economic worries, problems. Now, what are we going to do with this? I believe the Word of God. I believe Philippians 4:19 is still true. But my God shall supply all your needs. According to his riches in glory. How rich is God? Powerful. Abundant. Abundantly rich. I mean, he's going to pour this out on you. He is going to protect you. Going to help you. I don't know what it'll mean down the road. I have no idea the pressure that's going to be put on some people. I have no idea. But I believe that God is going to help us. We trust him for this. We believe that he's going to be there and be our aid, be our help. I really do. But let's get to something spiritual. What about salvation? Salvation is always available. Free to us, but costly to the Lord Jesus. I want to tell you, my friend, there's nothing cheap about salvation except that you and I can accept it and have it freely this morning. And this is where the unconverted must worry a lot more than the Christians. At least I hope that is true. The unsaved need to be concerned. They need to be burdened.
Because if they reject the Lord Jesus and reject the fact that he died on the cross for them, think of what he went through. Think of how he suffered. You've heard it. You've seen it perhaps on television. And it's awful what he went through. And to think that there are people here in this land who are turning their backs on the Lord Jesus, who are saying no to him. And as yet they have not made that commitment to Christ, or at least received him as their Savior and Lord. This is serious, serious, serious. They have a lot to have sleepless nights over, believe me. A lot. They ought to be concerned. They ought to worry because of this. Ah, my friend. I trust that that's not true of you this morning, that you know him as your Savior. And salvation is really yours, and you can really rejoice in the fact that Christ is yours, and you have everything because you belong to him. All right? I have a friend of mine, Brother Roddy knows him, a few others, in Man of War. And one day, she said she was blind, and she's still alive. She's way up in years, and she said, now she went to the closet. But she said, I don't have a thing to wear to church tonight. Now, poor Naomi can't see, but she told me how many dresses she had in the closet. And when I preached on this one night, and I happened to mention that with some lady, said, I don't know what I'm going to wear tonight. I don't have a thing to wear. Now that isn't really so, but maybe they mean another new dress. I don't know what they mean by it. And Naomi said, you hit me right between the eyes tonight, Brother Frank. And I said, no, I didn't mean to. And then she told me the story. She said, just tonight I said that I don't have a thing to wear. And she told me how many dresses, about 30 dresses in the closet. Didn't have a thing to wear. Now that's just a little illustration of fretting over incidentals, something that really doesn't really matter. Boy, I tell you, Psalm 37, listen to this. I have been young, verse 25. David is saying that I was a young man, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. His children are not begging bread. And then David lived for nice old age, or considerably old age, and he said when he was a boy, I was young, now I'm old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Isn't it nice? God says, I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. Neither will I forsake you. Boy, that's a wonderful promise. Claim that promise today. What kind of a father would you be? And a mother. If you spend all your money on pleasure, not necessarily sinful pleasure, but all things, you just lived it up and everything was you. Your clothing, and you bought things for your house, and your child had breakfast only. No dinner and no supper. No money. What kind of father and mother would they be? Would be terrible, wouldn't they? Well, what kind of God would God be if he didn't take care of his children? Have you ever thought of that? What kind of a father would he be if he didn't care? What I'm trying to tell you is, God is not going to let you down, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are. I want to drill this home in your little heart. You're not going to be perfect. You make mistakes. You're going to disappoint God. But always remember, he hates sin, but he loves you. He cares for each one of us. In our failings in life, we go to him. We have the blood of Jesus Christ, like we have in John. If we confess our sin, he is what? He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boy, what a God. All. Not just some of our sin, but all of our sin. And we want, because he loves us so much, we don't want to hurt him. Like you don't want to hurt mommy. You don't want to hurt daddy. Or you don't want to hurt your wife or hurt your husband because you love them. Sometimes we do, but because we love them, we try not to. Well, same principle. I'm not going to hurt God. He's my Father. He's my Lord. Why? Because I know he loves me, and hopefully I love him too. You see? And because you love him, you don't want to hurt him. Now that's as simple as A, B, C. You don't have to be a professor to understand the principle of love. Love is beautiful. Love is wonderful. This kind of love is spiritual love. This is the love that keeps us from fretting and worrying and be filled with anxiety all day long. And the next day, we have to keep reminding ourselves of this, you see. And it's wonderful, this love. Let's have that love directed to him and directed in the right way. And we love God, he loves us. And with this love of God in our heart, then we love one another. That's how the love for one another comes, you know. And it's very, very important. Now I realize we're not going to get through the subject. Sometimes the past bothers us. But the future should not bother you. But you know, people worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, the future. Leave the future alone. Take no thought for tomorrow, said the Lord. You plan, yes. You don't worry about tomorrow. That's the point of this, you see? The past is over and done. You can't do anything about that. You can't bring it back. That's why the now is so important. More and more, that's impressed by the Spirit of God on my heart, and I fail the Lord here. It's the now, that embrace of your mommy and daddy, or the embrace of that child. It's now. They'll remember you by your kindness. As a mother, how you were patient. And they'll also remember you how you had to chastise them too. But that's good. The now is very... You can't recall what happened this morning. It's now that is important. We need to be more impressed about that. It's now. Lord, what do you want me to do? Now. You know? It's so, so important. Because he loves us very dearly, and we need to focus on those things that are essential, those things that are lasting, those things that are meaningful in life. Don't waste your life, okay? When I was a boy, I could think of times. I don't want you to be an adult. Enjoy your teenage days. That's what God made you as a teenager. Or if you're not a teenager, enjoy it, fellas. Spin your top. I was spinning with top with Zeke a few days ago. I never realized that I was so backward and so dumb. I couldn't get that thing to spin. It took me about 12 attempts. Finally, I got it. Felt like I was on top of the world. And he laughed at me. He said, boy, Papa's a dumb man, I guess, in his mind. But you know something? I can't be a child anymore. I don't even like the thought. We could be a child in malice, of course, but grown up in love. You know what I mean by that? You take two boys that fight, whatever it is, marbles, or you cheated, and they even have fist fights. I don't want to talk to you no more. Leave me alone. And so you're separated. Next day, those two boys are playing together again, shooting marbles or spinning tops. You see, that's why Paul said, be children in malice. You all don't hold grudges long as children. Pardon me for talking to you like that, but I'm going to use you as an illustration. See, I hope you don't mind. I don't mean you in particular, but that's an illustration. Boys are like that. Children are like that. Young girls are like that. They get mad, but next day, they're playing together again. Now, adults, oh my, I see some of you shaking your head now. We hang on a little longer, don't we? The Lord doesn't want us to be. He said, I want you to be like children in malice. There are areas in our life which I'm going to stop here. You know them. I know them. Where it gives great cause sometimes for concern. Fretfulness and worry. But it's nice to know that the Lord will clear it up for us. He'll forgive us. And because that's the promise of his word. You get up and you go on. You don't stay down, okay? That's the point I want to make. Don't stay down. Just go on. And the Lord will bless you for it, keep you, sustain you, and because you are His child. Because He loves us. Loves us very dearly. Oh, my. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for our class. Thank you for your word. And we know that we're giving to worry sometimes. We just pray, help us to trust you more. You will freely give us all things, richly, richly. Help us to understand the principle that our God cares more than we could ever imagine. We want to be in your hand. We want to have more confidence, more faith, more devotion, more love. And still within our being to God, a real sense of love for you and reverence to serve you faithfully. We thank you for our young people in our class today. Pray, Lord, that you'll encourage their hearts and be everything to them. Whatever the needs are, keep them from anxiety, and that they will just lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.